Good evening. This is Religion in the News, compiled, edited, and recorded at the Interdenominational Theological Center, and I'm Clarence Steger.
And I'm Albert Sloan, and we are both bringing you current religious news and social news with religious significance from both near and far.
This weekend, here in Atlanta at the ITC, the ITC, in cooperation with the four constituent seminaries, Gammon Theological Seminary, Morehouse School of Religion, Phillips School of Theology, and Turner Theological Seminary, sponsored a weekend conference on the ministry. The ITC and its constituents brought in students, juniors and seniors, from over 35 colleges and universities throughout the South, the Southeast, and the Southwest. The conference, with a theme, The Ministry in Crisis, had as guests the Reverend Raymond F. Chunky Harvey, the pastor of Greenwood Missionary Baptist Church at Tuskegee, and the Reverend Dr. Alan M. Mays, a staff member of the General Board of Pensions of the Methodist Church. Also present as guest was the executive director of the Fund for Theological Education, the Reverend Shelby Rooks. Over 75 students from the Southern, Southeastern, and Southwestern schools attended the weekend conference, lasting from Friday at 12 noon until today at noon, when the students again headed for their colleges back home after having seen the ITC and received an invitation to attend to prepare for the Christian ministry.
From Alabama, we hear that white and Negro Baptists in Selma have approved suggestions which they hope will starve off a long, hot summer of racial disorder in Alabama. Problems of racial conflict, riots, and disorder were discussed in detail by a joint committee of representatives from the Alabama Baptist State Convention and the Alabama Baptist Convention. Numerous suggestions were adopted by the committee as guides for Christians in the state to cope with the problems that they hope that will not come about this summer. They suggested that the committees be formed across the state to 1. Pinpoint areas of need, 2. Develop services and resource material to meet the needs, 3. To discover and recruit volunteer workers, and 4. To promote racial cooperation in carrying out any proposals. The committee reaffirmed its faith in the gospel to furnish solution to racial problems. The committee also suggested interracial citywide meetings for inspiration and Christian fellowship among all Christian groups, and establishment of classes, especially for children and young people, for Bible study and other related activities.
After more than 30 years on the revival circuit, where he has persuaded thousands to convert to Christianity, Oklahoma evangelist Oral Roberts last week underwent a conversion of his own. In a simple routine ceremony in Tulsa, Roberts was received into the Methodist Church. Next month, after completing a cram course in contemporary theology, the former Pentecostal holiness preacher will become a Methodist minister. It was the will of God, said the 50-year-old faith healer, that had brought him into the Methodist fold. But he denied that he had abandoned any of his old beliefs. He still maintains that God heals the sick through his prayers, and he affirms, "I will speak in tongues daily," referring to the Pentecostal glossolalia that Roberts has been used to over the years. Roberts' conversion will not only affect the content of his monthly evangelistic crusades on the independence of Tulsa's Oral Roberts University, which he heads, but it will have a deep impression on those with whom he works. Nor will it upset the ecumenical balance in Roberts' own family. Though his wife is now also a Methodist, two of his sons are Presbyterians. One remains a Pentecostal, and the youngest, 19 years old, doesn't belong to any church at all.
Upheaval at home and brinkmanship abroad dominate the recent 3-day business session of the Policymaking General Board of the National Council of Churches in San Diego, California. Along with 3 policy statements and 6 resolutions dealing with these central topics, the board members passed an unprecedented special order directing National Council officers and staff to plan and execute a special action program to help meet the crises in the nation. The new program calls for action by churches working together in forming better communications among themselves, development of an adult education curriculum for crash programs used by the churches, and more effective participation in the urban coalition. The new order calls for redeployment of National Council staff and resources where necessary to back new programs. Dr. Arthur S. Fleming, president of the council, said the action had started a crash program to mobilize one of the most important resources our nation has, the spirit of love which lies at the heart of the ministry to which members of the National Council are committed.
It is one of the ironies of the U.S. Roman Catholic Church that the nation's most progressive community of nuns is located in the country's most conservative archdiocese. And though they have clashed often in the past, the Sisters of the Immaculate Heart of Mary and James Cardinal McIntyre, Archbishop of Los Angeles, now are locked in a battle that only the Pope, it seems, can resolve. In effect, overturn the congregation's ruling is what they're out to do. In fact, the ruling had not come from the entire congregation, which includes four nuns, but solely from arch-conservatism in the cardinalate. The congregation's perfect, who had taken it upon himself to speak for the Holy See without consulting with the Pope. More important, the cardinal had apparently not consulted the bishops of the other seven dioceses in which the nuns now serve, and this is causing the trouble.
From Washington, D.C., we hear that both Jews and Christians need new understanding of and relationships with the other, a current flowing both ways, an interfaith dialogue agreed upon March the 10th through the 11th. In-depth discussion of past and present relationships and problems of the two faith groups was carried on a airline farm near here or in Washington in a Methodist Jewish relations seminar. This was the first such meeting sponsored by the Methodist Board of Christian Social Concern and the American Jewish Committee. From the theme of the vocation of Israel in terms of a calling, the seminar developed into the areas of working on the topic elder and younger brother and double standards of judgment of nations and the minority status of both faith groups. It was generally agreed that many issues were only touched upon in this initial dialogue and that the encounters mostly continued to have their same old views. It was also agreed that neither group views the other as fit objects for mission or for proselyting, but each has insights which might enrich the other.
The Right Reverend Joy G. Rath, suffragan Bishop of Newark, said recently that he welcomed the publication of a report of the Governor's Commission on Civil Disorders. Noting the virtually unanimous findings and recommendations of the 12-member commission, the bishop said that the report should lay to rest erroneous opinions that the disorders have been the products of direct conspiracy or organized criminal elements. Housing, police community relations, job opportunities, and educational decay are the factors that cause urban unrest, and only the eradication of these conditions by the white community will bring an order based on justice to the city. Years of neglect by the community as a whole, and not the incidents of a few passing days, must occupy our attention in the months ahead. Gloomy reports of little change in the last 7 months should be of immediate concern to all in positions of responsibility for the city's economic and political life. Tangible concern and action by all for the needs of the nation's largest minority can no longer be delayed without adding peril to past injustice. The report demonstrates that we must do now what we should have done long ago. It is of interest, the bishop added, that the commission cites the need of a new formula which would free more state and federal funds for the cities of our country to help to deal with the unrest, particularly in our ghettos, the bishop said.
The Joint Committee of 24, which has been working on a plan of union for the Presbyterian Church in the U.S. and the Reformed Church in America since 1965, held its final draft session in Charlotte, North Carolina. Among the changes made in the final draft are provisions giving greater voting representation to larger Presbyterians and classes, and which would affect relationships of the national governing body and other theological seminaries related. The committee's decision to require a two-thirds vote on the United Church's doctrinal standards and dealing with other ecclesiastical bodies is in line with the system in the United Presbyterian Church and the consultation on church union. Seminaries are to continue under control of their prospective boards, pending certain actions.
Responding to complaints from members about a recent national study on homosexuality, the Wisconsin Conference of the United Church of Christ has circulated its own statement condemning homosexuality as a devastating sickness which should not be given fake status as a simple difference in taste, the report said. The Reverend Ralph P. Lay of Madison, Wisconsin, president of the conference, said the complaints revolved around a booklet, Civil Liberties and Homosexuality, prepared by the United Church of Christ Social Action Department, asserting that the church has a special responsibility in helping to change society's attitude toward homosexuality. He said the reply, written by the Reverend Charles E. Goldsmith, chaplain of Deaconess Hospital, Milwaukee, represented a more valid point of view for the United Church of Christ, in our opinion, he said, and therefore they endorsed it as their own. The statement was mailed to nearly 3,000 United Church of Christ clergymen in the state of Wisconsin.
Negro leader Julius Hobson preached the need of revolution from the pulpit of St. Stephen's and the Incarnation, Washington, D.C., on a recent Sunday, but he said this was not the year for burning down the cities. Questioning whether society's problem can be solved under capitalism, he said he believed we need a revolution to change what's wrong. He proposed that those who want to burn the cities down this summer should stop and think. I am not against revolutions, he said, just losing revolutions. We are not ready to make a revolution yet. Hobson's talk, the first of the church's Lenten season dealing with the urban problem, was given at a late morning service to about 400 people.
A United Board of College Development has been established under the auspices of the National Council of Churches to give assistance to church-related Negro colleges. The aim of the agency is not to preserve distinctly Negro colleges, a council spokesman said, but rather to ensure that these historic institutions become thoroughly integrated into the total system of American higher education. The new board, funded jointly by the National Council and the Ford Foundation, will seek to provide equal educational opportunity to disadvantaged students and will assist in developing predominantly Negro colleges that will be related to churches. That's all, our friends. This will be all until next Sunday.